COVID-19 crisis is causing a drop in global carbon dioxide emissions and a decline in the global demand for energy. According to the International Energy Agency, the lower emissions means harmful greenhouse gas emissions could reduce by almost 8% this year. That would be the largest annual drop on record. Climate change researcher Professor James Renwick from Victoria University joins us now. Kia ora, James.
Hi, Jesse.
What did you make of that prediction, that 8% prediction? Does that sound right to you?
Oh, that sounds pretty plausible to me. I've seen a number of calculations over the last few weeks, and that's on the higher side, 5 or 6% I've seen a few times. But, yeah, it does look as though global emissions of greenhouse gases will be down by something like that this year, which is pretty huge, considering that emissions have just been going up and up and up for a long time.
Yeah. When this sort of lockdown was announced, when it became clear what was happening around the world and how major it was going to be, was that one of the first things you thought of? Hey, maybe this will give us a bit of a head start on some of the big challenges we've got ahead.
Well, actually, yes, it was one of the things I thought about, and especially because almost straight away we started getting stories about how air pollution levels were dropping, and, you know, suddenly the air had cleared in some of the big cities in Europe and Asia and so on. So, yeah. It was something I immediately thought about. Yeah, I
mean, what's causing the reduction, James?
Well, we're just working less, driving less, flying less, industries doing less. So we're burning less fossil fuels, right? And a lot of that's through transport reductions in transport and in energy production for industry and that kind of thing. So, the global economy has really taken a hit, and it's that economic activity that's reduced, and that's reduced the emissions. So, you know, it's not a sustainable way to keep reducing emissions by any means, but it is in the right direction if we're serious about fighting climate change.
And remind us of our sort of the goals that we've set for ourselves over the next few years, what we're trying to achieve and how far this might go in helping us achieve it.
Yeah, well, good question. So if we're talking about stopping the warming at 1.5 degrees, which is what the Zero Carbon Act says in New Zealand, then we need emission reductions about that size, 7 or 8% every year from now on until we get to zero, which we need to do before or by the time we get to 2050. So this is definitely a step in the right direction, but we've got to find ways of sustaining that every year without shutting down the global economy and locking everybody up in their homes. You know, we've got to be able to restart the economy or pump it back up again, but also invest in renewable technology so that we can reduce emissions further, even while we are bringing our economic activity and our lives back up again.
Did we basically buy ourselves a free year?
Well, you could see it that way, that's right. I guess one thing I worry about is that, you know, governments around the world are putting stimulus packages together, and there's been talk about green stimulus here in New Zealand. Governments are going to want to bump the economy back up, get back to growth, basically, and so the getting back to growth and emissions could happen quite quickly. So it might be just a temporary step in the right direction. If we take a step backwards again next year, then we've sort of undone all that good work. So we need to lock it in somehow. Yeah.
Have you seen any New Zealand-specific data on the impacts of the coronavirus lockdown on our emissions?
On greenhouse gas emissions, not yet. I've seen statistics from NIWA about air pollution in Auckland and Wellington and other cities. That, you know, air pollution levels from, you know, smog, basically, from transport and so on, down 70, 80, 90%. It's gone away, basically, in the last couple of months. But greenhouse gas emissions, I haven't seen anything much yet. And as far as we can tell, you know, the concentrations in the atmosphere of carbon dioxide and so on, they don't respond very quickly. Like, it'll be a year before we see anything. So they're still up there. I'm sure emissions in New Zealand have gone down, but no, I haven't seen any data as yet.
You mentioned air pollution. How do we do, by the way, in Auckland and Wellington when it comes to air pollution? It's not something we chat about a lot.
No, but it is, you know, it is an issue in New Zealand, and there's an estimate that I think it's something like 1,000 people die prematurely every year from the effects of air pollution, people who might have respiratory problems anyway. You know, it is definitely a public health issue even here. I mean, Wellington's a bit of a special case. It's so well ventilated that a lot of the air pollution is blown away quite quickly. But other places like, well, Auckland, Christchurch, which tend to have calmer conditions more often, you can definitely get a layer of smog forming, and it can be a big problem, a big health problem and a big, you know, environmental issue for at some times of year at least. So New Zealand's not as bad as, not as badly off as some of the big cities in China, Asia, North America, but it is still a problem here in some places at least.
So here's the big question, James. Given that we have basically stopped the global economy, and that has resulted in about the level of reduction that we need to meet our climate change goals, our greenhouse gas emission goals, what sort of structural changes do we need to make in order to start hitting those reductions every year?
Yeah, the $64 million question, or trillion-dollar question. Well, the reality is, though, the global economy hasn't really shut down. I mean, it's taken a big hit, but most of the power stations in the world are still firing and all the lights are still on and everything. So emissions have gone down a few percent because some aspects of our lifestyles and the economy have slowed down or stopped in some cases. What we really need to tackle is global energy production. A lot of that is still powered by burning coal and oil. If we can start to eat into that and ramp up the use of solar, wind and other renewable technologies, that's when we start to make a real difference to global emissions and at the same time keep the economic activity going.
Do you see that happening?
Well, yes, I do. The rollout of renewables and the cost of renewables has come down dramatically in the last decade or so, mostly actually thanks to uptake in China. The Chinese are the biggest users in the world of solar panels and so on, and they're really driving innovation in this area. So the relative cost of renewables now compared to, say, a coal plant, they're at least as competitive, if not more competitive, than fossil today. So future investment in energy production should be going into renewables because that's where the smart money should be going. So, you know, I am hopeful that we'll see a big increase in the rollout of renewable energy. But the big question, I suppose, is can it be enough? You know, can we build enough wind farms and solar panels to make up for all of the energy we get from fossil fuels? The problem is that, you know, fossil fuels are really, really good because they're so energy dense. You get so much heat out of burning a lot of coal, it's hard to, you know, compete. You've got to put a lot of solar panels out to compete with one coal-fired power station. That is an issue, and I don't know how much we need globally, but I think we have to really push to go in that direction. And the technology is improving all the time, so I'm hopeful we can get there, yeah.
You keen on nuclear energy?
Keen would be the wrong word. Not really keen, but I do recognise that it is one component of the energy production system that doesn't produce greenhouse gases or doesn't produce much in the way of greenhouse gas emissions. So in the short term, at least, I think it has to be a part of the mix. I don't see nuclear coming in New Zealand. It would just be too costly and too time-consuming to do from where we are now, so we should concentrate more on the renewables. But around the world, I think we need to persevere with nuclear for at least another decade or two.
Will you have at least a small glass of bubbles to celebrate this 8% reduction caused by COVID-19 lockdowns?
To be honest, no. You know, it's come at the cost of hundreds of thousands of deaths, actually, and I think it's a terrible situation we're in right now. Yes, the reduction in emissions of greenhouse gases is a positive side effect, but it's a small positive in a really bad situation. So actually, no, I don't feel like celebrating that, but what I will celebrate is seeing those reductions in emissions carrying on as the world's economy comes back to life.
Good stuff. A real pleasure to chat with you. I've been talking to Professor James Renwick from Victoria University, climate change researcher, on the news that the COVID-19 lockdowns has reduced emissions, some estimates up to 8%. Cheers, James.
Oh, my pleasure. All the best.